I'm not mistaken, I believe, for those of you who are into classic country, I believe that was a George Jones song from days gone by. The Possum, I believe, was his nickname. Peggy, God bless you. Thank you for that. Well, brothers and sisters, let me invite you this morning to take your sermon guide. And on the front, it should say week 5. And as you are doing that, let me also invite you to find John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And if you don't have a sermon guide this morning, if you will just simply slip up your hand. We have a couple right there, Brother John, and then Brother Jason here in the front of your section. And if you'll just keep your hands raised momentarily, we'll make sure that we get you a sermon guide. Bear with us just a moment. Again, also, in addition to your sermon guide, Brother Eric here at the front, one right there. Hopefully you have a pen available to you as well, and I believe you can find one on back of the pew in front of you. We are continuing our Every Believer a Witness study and emphasis. Brother Eric, right back there on the back row, I think Brother John may have just gotten it. Good. Anybody else? We've got a sermon guide for you. We are in week 5 of 7 of Every Believer a Witness. And if you will just remember, in week 1, we talked about what are the reasons that we don't share the gospel? What are the reasons that we as Christians don't share our faith? And we talked about destroying apathy. And we were reminded in week 1 about the reality of hell. And then we moved to week 2, and we were looking at the Apostle Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 26, and we were reminded who we are or were without Christ. We're lost. We are blind. We are enemies of God. We are alienated from the Lord. And it's always good to remember who we are outside of Christ so that we can be grateful and thankful for who we are in Christ. Amen? And so we remembered who we were before we were saved. In week 3, you got the opportunity, looking at Paul's testimony, to craft your own testimony in 3 parts. Your life before you met Christ, how you met Christ, and your life since you met Christ. Again, those are the 3 parts. Your life before you met Christ. Number 2, how you met Christ. And number 3, your life since you met Christ. And then in week 4, overcoming or defeating fear. The devil loves to intimidate us. He loves to lie to us. He loves to make us afraid so that we don't share the gospel. And certainly every person can understand that particular experience. And so today in session 5, week 5, continuing to develop know-how. Now I'm going to do something this morning, and we've done it in the recent Sundays, but I'm going to ask for 2 volunteers to allow me to bring the microphone to you, and you just share very briefly who you shared your testimony with this past week. Who you shared your testimony with this past week. Maybe you said it from memory. Maybe you read it. But you shared your testimony with someone this past week. And I want you just to tell us who that was and maybe just a little bit of the circumstances surrounding that. All right. I want you to know this is not a condition of her employment. She's volunteering.
But it might not hurt.
That's true too.
I have a longtime friend, 35-year friend, BJ, who I love dearly. She is surrounded by Christians, but she cannot see how we can believe what we cannot see. And I go camping with her. I talk to her about the Lord, and it just breaks my heart. And when Brother Richard challenged us to do this, she was the first one who came to my mind. And it took me 2 weeks to get it done, but we had a conversation last Sunday night, and I just told her I need to read you something, and we're supposed to do it to two people, and you're one of the lucky ones. And I did, and she told me how well it was written and how concise it was and all this. But I said, what about what I said, you know? But I have put another step. I have taken another step with her, and that's all we can do.
Amen. Amen. I hope that you heard that. That was not planned by me or Barbie. It was planned of the Lord. But I want you to see and understand, Barbie, a follower of Christ, has a long-term relationship with a friend who is not a Christian. And that should be true of all of us as followers of Christ. We need to have those individuals in our lives that we are regularly sharing the gospel with. Barbie did not do that face-to-face. It was over the phone, and that was completely, completely fine. And she read it. Some of you aren't always going to have your testimony on a hard copy in front of you, but you may commit certain elements of it to memory, and if you put it in digital form, you can have it on your phone so that you can go back to it and reference it and read it if need be. So, Barbie, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your burden for your friend, BJ. One more person.
Robbie and I went yesterday morning east of Alba to pick up a huge load of scrap metal from an older couple. And she and I were standing out watching as Robbie and her husband were putting on a real heavy thing. And I asked her if I could give her my testimony, and she said yes. So I gave it to her. It's in my memory. And she said, that's wonderful, but you really should join the Catholic Church.
So, Betty's friend was trying to convert her to Catholicism. Good news, Betty didn't convert, praise the Lord. And Betty shared her testimony with this new friend. This past week, again, I want you to know I'm doing the very same things that I'm asking and challenging you to do. So on Tuesday of this week, I had my testimony with me. I went to a place where I thought that I was going to have the opportunity. And so I had the hard copy, and I read it to an individual verbatim. Later that day, because I had put that testimony in digital form, I had it on my phone. I was with me in a restaurant. And it was a great opportunity in that it was a church member who was eating lunch with some employees. And so I see this church member come in, and I text him, can I come share my testimony with your employees? Of course. And so I go over in the middle of a public restaurant, read to these other four individuals my testimony from my phone. So if you have it in multiple places, on your phone, hard copy, in your mind, you can share it at a moment's notice. And so I want to continue to keep that before you, recognizing the opportunities that the Lord gives us to share our testimony. Well, take your sermon guide, turn to page 2, and let's talk about for a few minutes honing your personal story or refining your personal story. You may not always have 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes to have this spiritual conversation. You may only have 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe it's at halftime of a ball game. Maybe it's at a restaurant on your way out with a server, with a friend you saw at the restaurant. Maybe it's in the break room at work during the lunch hour. And so you may not have an extended period of time, and so you have to at least know some big picture points of your testimony so that you can share it at a moment's notice. So there on page 2, again, the first part of our testimony is our life before I met Jesus. My life before I met Jesus. So if I have just a moment's notice and I speak about my life before I met Jesus, I'm going to talk about how I grew up in Alvarado. And my mom and dad were divorced when I was 5. And I was highly resistant to my stepfather's authority in our home. And I, because my mom was taking me to church and had heard about death and dying, I began to wonder, where would I go if and when I died? And so, like many of you, she set up an appointment with our pastor for him to come by the house and visit with me. Well, that's what I would say regarding my life before I met Christ. But that is greatly reduced from what I read to you a couple of Sundays ago. So we're going to do this morning. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And as you, if you have already written your testimony down in the weeks past, I'm going to encourage you to take just 2 or 3, maybe 4 big idea points and write them in that space there on page 2, number 1. My life before I met Jesus. So at this time, right now, in class, if you will, I want you to take that opportunity. Go. All right. Let's think about the second part of our testimony. How I came to accept Jesus into my life. How I came to accept Jesus into my life. Now remember, there is nothing inherently special about our testimony. But what is special, and I would even use the word powerful, is the gospel. And so we have to make sure that our testimony includes the gospel. Well, Brother Richard, what is the gospel? Well, let's be reminded of what is the gospel from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 3 and 4. On the screens behind me, read this aloud with me. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Well, why does that matter? Why does it matter that we have to make sure to have the gospel in our testimony? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Again, please read this aloud with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So everyone who believes, anyone who believes, the gospel will save. It's not your job, it's not my job, but it's God's job, and he will accomplish it through the gospel, the fact that Jesus died. He died a sinless, perfect life. He was buried, but he didn't stay buried. He was resurrected on the third day, never to die again, to confirm everything he said and everything he had done. And the gospel, brothers and sisters, is what will save people's souls. And so as a part of our testimony, I would say that on that Tuesday afternoon when I was 10 years old and in the fourth grade and I had come home after school and I was watching the Dukes of Hazzard waiting for Brother Doug to stop by. And when Brother Doug got to my house and my mom had gotten home as well, he shared with me the gospel that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he was resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures to confirm everything he said and everything he had done. And he invited me that day to receive Jesus into my life by praying a very simple prayer that he led in that afternoon. And that's that second part of my testimony, how I met Jesus. So you take right now, 2 minutes to make sure, honing your testimony, honing your story, that you have the gospel in that second part. Go. after you have made sure that the second part of your testimony, how you met Jesus, contains the gospel, then that third and final part of your testimony, your life since you met Jesus, your life since Jesus came in, what difference has he made? Well, for me, it let me know where I would go when I died. I didn't have to worry any longer about where I would go when I died because I had the assurance of God's word that because I had believed, I now had a home in heaven. And you know what? It also changed my attitude toward my father, stepfather, because now my attitude to my stepfather was determined by my relationship with the Lord. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to honor his authority in our home. And so what change took place in your life? Maybe you went from not having assurance to having assurance. Maybe you were involved in a certain lifestyle and you're no longer involved in a certain lifestyle. Maybe you were guilty of a certain sin, but now you've forsaken that sin. What change has Jesus made in your life? For this final part of our testimony, take 2 more minutes and then we'll move on. If you'll turn in your sermon guide to page 3, how do we transition? How do we transition? Because we're not always going to have an unlimited amount of time. We may just have 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 4 minutes. How do we transition and turn an everyday secular conversation to the spiritual? Now, for some of you, it may come very naturally. I used to go to church and work with a man by the name of Kirk Lukey. And Kirk could take any conversation. God had gifted him and equipped him in such a way that he could take any conversation. You're talking about bubble gum? It gets to Jesus. You're talking about gasoline? Jesus. Building a new house? Jesus. Friday night football game? Jesus. He did it all the time. I don't have that gift. I don't have that ability. I don't have that strength. And so I have to work hard in transitioning secular conversations to the spiritual. So let's think about that for a few minutes there on page 3. Number 1, Listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Listen for people sharing experiences like yours. So for a couple of more weeks, you're going to be able to say, hey, would you do me a favor? My pastor wants me to read, okay? But after the end of October, you won't be able to say that and say it honestly, because we will have moved on from every believer a witness. You can't say, well, we're doing this project at our church right now. So how can you transition? Listening for people sharing experiences like yours. Oh, you grew up in a home where your mom and dad were divorced? That's true of me. I grew up in a home where my mom and dad were divorced. Oh, you had a step-parent? I had a step-parent. You had step-siblings? I had step-brothers. I understand exactly what you're talking about. Oh, you're having to take care of an aging parent right now? I was having a conversation this past Friday with one of our church members at a gym watching a volleyball game, and he was telling me about how he's having to take care and make decisions, he and his brothers, for aging parents right now. And there are multiple church members at Emory Baptist Church right now in that exact same experience and situation. And there are so many in that exact same situation and have that exact same experience outside of Emory Baptist Church. But you're listening for shared experience. Oh, you're having difficulty parenting your teenager right now? Well, guess what? Me too. Let's talk about that. What experience are you going through? Listening for shared experiences. Number two. Listen for people sharing emotions like yours. Listen for people sharing emotions like yours. And there is a wide variety of shared common emotions right now. People are tired. People are angry. People are hurting. People are anxious. And some people are lonely. So what shared emotions are you having with those around you? You can listen and you can identify that in common everyday conversation. And number three. Listen or look for opportunities in current events. There's a lot of things going on in our country today. Whether that be COVID or whether that be politics or whether that be refugees. There is a lot of current or similar events. And I want you to notice a common word in Numbers 1, 2, and 3, listen. Brothers and sisters, I'm convinced that we could be better human beings and certainly better followers of Christ if we would listen more and speak less. Listen to those around you and their experiences, and their emotions, and their events. And you know what? Even when they're done, you don't have to share yours. You can. We live in this world today where we think, I've got to get that off my chest. No, you don't. You don't have to speak. The book of Proverbs tells us that we don't have to speak. We don't have to post. We don't have to text. We don't have to get it off our chest. We can simply commit it to the Lord. But listening for shared experience, shared emotions, current events, and number four, make leading statements. Leading statements. You can say something like, man, God has blessed us with a wonderful, beautiful day. You can say something like, "The Lord has blessed me today." You mean, "Brother Richard, you want me to be one of those type of people?" Brothers and sisters, let me ask you something. Think about this with me for a moment. After God saved you, why did He not take you to heaven immediately? Why not? Was it so you could make your millions? Nope. Was it so you could see your son or your daughter be the next Olympian? Nope. Was it so that you could rise to fame and fortune in your business? No, no, no. God did not take you to heaven when He saved you for one and only one reason: for you to be a witness for Christ. That's it. Nothing else. Challenge me if you think I'm wrong. Show me in Scripture if you think I'm wrong. One reason: God has left you here and not taken you to heaven immediately to point people to Jesus. But you see, tomorrow, when you see all the people that you're going to see at work, they're not going to be thinking about heaven. All the people at school, they're not going to be thinking about hell. All the people in your neighborhood, they're not going to be thinking about Jesus. They're going to be thinking about bills, and they're going to be thinking about tests, and they're going to be thinking about work, and they're going to be thinking about a thousand other things. But if we will listen and know our testimony that includes the gospel well enough, then we can insert it at a moment's notice. Do you know Jesus did this? He set the example for us. He showed us exactly how to do this in John chapter 4. Would you look at your Bibles in John chapter 4? John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. By the way, right there, just a quick side note. If you come across someone who insists that baptism saves you, why then did Jesus not baptize? If baptism is what saves you, why would you have this explicit statement in the Gospels that Jesus didn't baptize? That doesn't make any sense. Because baptism doesn't save you. It's grace by faith through Christ that saves you. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. And so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, now watch this. The first words that Jesus says to this woman, notice it's not, "Where do you go to church?" It's not, "Can I share my testimony with you?" It's not, "Would you like a gospel tract?" What is it? "Give me a drink." Jesus was thirsty. A common emotion that he is going to share, obviously, with this woman, because she came to the well also. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." This woman knew her culture. Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. And men didn't talk to women in public who weren't their wives. This was a very unique and a very strange situation that she encountered. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So now he transitions. He transitions from water to living water. The woman said to her, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" She's intrigued. She wants to know more. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to her, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus took a conversation about water and explained the gospel to a woman living in sin, because he listened to experiences. And he listened to emotions, and he listened to events, and he made leading statements. Turn finally to page 4. Page 4, here are 3 tips on witnessing that we will close with this morning. Number 1, it's different sharing your testimony in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. It is different sharing your testimony in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. If you're having that one-time meeting, then perhaps you will dump everything you have about your testimony on that person. But you probably won't do that with a friend that you'll see again and again and again and again. You may share your testimony with that friend little by little. But just know that there is a difference. Number 2, expect mixed results. Expect mixed results. There on the side column of your sermon guide, the Apostle Paul preached a sermon, and then we have the responses to that sermon from Acts chapter 17, verse 32 and verse 34. Read this aloud with me, either on the screen behind me or in your sermon guide. "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again.' But some men joined him and believed." So notice those 3 responses. Some people mocked him. They said, "You're crazy. People don't live again." Brothers and sisters, we need to expect mixed results. That's how some will respond to the gospel. But notice what the text also says. Others said, "We'll hear you again. You can tell us more about that at a later time." They may not mock you, but they're not making any permanent, definite decisions right then. But they're curious. They want to know more. That's great. Wonderful opportunity. But then there will be some men who joined him and believed. You know what? The more often we share the gospel, God has a tendency to save more people. Did you ever put that together? The more we share the gospel, the more God saves. Because you and I are God's means for growing his kingdom. Us sharing the gospel, we are the means for growing God's kingdom. And then finally, number three, remember, inviting people to church is good, but it is not going. Inviting people to church is good, but it is not going. What do you mean, Brother Richard, when you say going? You know Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples." Literally, in all the places you go, you're going to work tomorrow, make disciples. You're going to school tomorrow, make disciples. You're going to the gym tomorrow, make disciples. You're going to the doctor's office tomorrow, make disciples. You're going to an HOA meeting this afternoon, make disciples. Everywhere you go, brothers and sisters, make disciples. And making disciples starts with sharing the gospel. For some of you today, it has come to your attention through God's Holy Spirit that you don't have a testimony. And the reason that you don't have a testimony is because you haven't met Jesus. I want you to know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, but he didn't stay buried. He was resurrected on the third day. And the reason that he was resurrected on the third day is to affirm everything he ever said and everything he ever did, proving that he is the Son of God. And he said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "No one comes to the Father except through me." If you're here today and you would meet Jesus for the first time, in just a moment after we finish praying together, I'm going to invite you to join me here at the front. We'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And I would invite you to make your way here to the front and say to me today, "Brother Richard, I want to meet Jesus, and I would love to introduce him to you and celebrate with you and pray with you and talk about the next steps in your relationship with Christ." Maybe you're here today and God has helped you refine your testimony, hone your story, and even put on your mind and on your heart, much like we've heard already this morning from some, of somebody that you need to share your testimony with. A friend, a coworker, family member, teammate, classmate. Take the opportunity. Be bold and courageous. Listen. And at least for the next several weeks, you can say, "My pastor wants me to share our testimony with you. Would you do me a favor?" And share your life before Christ and how you met Christ and your life since meeting Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for the truth that you have left us here on this earth for no other reason than to share the gospel. Father, I hope and pray that truth this morning makes a huge impact on my behavior and the behavior of many church members as we go from this place today. That God left us here for that sole reason. Father in heaven, I pray that you've been at work in these last few moments convicting those who are lost of their lostness and their need to know Christ as Savior. And so draw them unto yourself this morning, Lord. Give them faith to believe. Give them courage and boldness to profess you before men. Father, thank you for Emory Baptist Church. Thank you for us taking seriously the responsibility that you have for us. And as we go from here today, may we be doers and not hearers only of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us, and I'm here at the front, would you come today on the very first stanza?